The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who hope in you, because we are weak mortals, we accomplish nothing good without you. Help us to see and understand the things we ought to do, and give us grace and power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
A reading from Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together Psalm 119 responsively. Happy are they whose way is blameless, who follow the teaching of the Lord.
Happy are they doing
wrong, but always walk in your ways.
You lead your own way.
So that my ways were made so direct that I might keep your statutes. With a true heart, when I have learned your righteous judgments.
I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now, you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh, and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, "I belong to Paul," and another says, "I belong to Apollos," are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants working together. You are God's field, God's building. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. If you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your own head, for you cannot make one hair black or white. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Anyone out there really eager to preach on this text instead of me? Anyone want to take my job for this Sunday? It must be the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, no mere human could, or much less a committee, could have decided that this part of Matthew's Gospel should be read in the middle of February. We get this part about relationships on Valentine's weekend. But that's okay, because relationships, our relationships matter to God. Our God is no big idea of the philosophers or some disdainful God of mythology who looked on humans as playthings. No, our God is a God of love who cares about our relationships. God cares deeply and passionately about how we treat each other, because God loves each of us and all of us so very much. We Lutherans do talk a lot about God's love. We sing songs about God's love. We address our prayers to the God of love. We offer our hearts to the God of love. So what do we do when we get a text like this that is so much law? If you call your brother or sister a fool, you're liable to the hell of fire. You don't know my brother. That's what I would say to Jesus. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Do not swear an oath, but let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. These holy words of Scripture aren't words that you would likely find in a Valentine card or a love letter. And yet, these are the words from Jesus. Jesus, the very heart of God made flesh, the incarnation itself. To say that our relationships matter to God is to reinterpret the law in a way that opens us up to be faithful to Scripture and to the very nature and purpose of God's commands. Notice that each of these different injunctions concerns how we treat each other. Jesus isn't making the law stricter, he's broadening it.
He isn't just concerned about not breaking the law. He's concerned about what that breaking does to us and how it affects our relationships. Jesus says it's not enough to refrain from murder. We should also treat each other with respect. And that means not speaking hurtful words or hateful words. Too often we hate, we despise, we lug around huge grudges, we kill relationships, we shun others. We wish they were dead. Jesus says it's not enough to avoid physically committing adultery. We should also not objectify persons by seeing them as a means to satisfy our physical desires by lusting after them. Too often we disrespect one another. We make jokes that are demeaning to men or to women. Jesus says it's not enough to follow the letter of the law regarding divorce. We should not treat people as disposable and should make sure that the most vulnerable are cared for. In first century, the culture, the most vulnerable were women and children. Too often, we treat those we dislike or who hold different opinions from us as less than human. Jesus says it's not enough to keep from swearing falsely or lying to others. We should speak and act truthfully in all our dealings so that we don't need to make any oaths at all. Too often we misuse our words. We spin them just so. We tell half-truths rather than speaking honestly. And what are we to make of that awful part about cutting off body parts and burning in hell? They are meant to magnify just how important our relationships are to God. Too many people think of God only think of God like an old man sitting up on the clouds, looking down at us, making sure that no one is having too much fun, like some almighty stalker watching our every move. The exaggerated language Jesus uses here might seem to reinforce that kind of image of God. But what if God isn't interested in us keeping the law for the law's sake, but rather that God cares that we keep the law for our sake, that is, because God loves us? I know parents who have some pretty strict rules for their children, and sometimes the children think their parents are overbearing tyrants, but as they mature, they realize that the rules that parents set were all intended to care for them and to protect them and to help them get more from this life than they could otherwise. Don't play in the street. Treat each other well. Don't talk mean about other people. Don't use drugs. These are rules of love, not restriction. Did you notice in last Sunday's reading, Jesus said that those who break the law will be the least in the kingdom, and those who keep the law will be the greatest in the kingdom. Whether you break the law or keep the law, you're still in the kingdom. So maybe the law isn't the way we can earn God's favor or merit a place in the kingdom. Luther says that the law is a precious gift of an adoring parent given to beloved children, urging them to treat each other well. Since God really does care about our relationships, I want us to have some time to think about those relationships. I'm going to do a little thinking job right now. I want you to first think of one relationship in your life that's very important to you. Get a name in your head. A relationship that's healthy and whole, a relationship that's good, one that sustains you on a regular basis. You got somebody in mind? What makes this a good relationship? Why is it important to you? What do you like about this person? With that person's name in your head, I want to offer a prayer. You have blessed us, O God, in this relationship, this circle of love. We thank you for such a blessing, for friends who love us, who share our sorrows, who laugh with us in celebration, who bear our pain, who need us as we need them, who weep as we weep, who holds us when words fail, and who gives us the freedom to be ourselves. Bless our friends with health, wholeness, life, and love. Amen. Now I want you to think of another relationship that's also important to you, but that has suffered some damage. Don't try to figure out who's to blame for the hurt, but only hold that person and that relationship in prayer. Offer that broken relationship to God as an offering and a request for God's help and healing. Is there any action that you could take to move that relationship to greater health? And with that person, that relationship in mind, we pray. Oh God, we pray that your holy and life-giving spirit may move this person's heart, that the barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions disappear, and hatred cease. We pray that we all might live in justice and peace, that bitterness be overcome and hope be restored. Amen. Hear this good news. God delights in you and loves you unconditionally. God cares about your relationships and wants the best for you in and through these relationships. Our God is a God of love. Our God is love. Amen.